Despite all the challenges he faces, President Obama is certainly not retreating from public view. He appears on Face the Nation today, and over the past few weeks, he's appeared on everything from The Tonight Show to 60 Minutes to ESPN to two primetime news conferences. On Thursday, the president tried out a town hall-style forum on the internet. Speaking to a live audience, he fielded questions that were submitted on the web and selected by an online vote. The White House reports that more than 3.5 million votes were logged, and the president noted.
There was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high. And that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but I just want, I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy.
David Gergen, an advisor to presidents from both parties, joins us in the studio. First of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you imagine a question to the president from the press on marijuana, unless it came from High Times magazine?
Well, if the president holds another press conference, he may well call on High Times. He enjoys calling on Stars and Stripes, and he calls on Politico, and not the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. But they'll have their turn again.
Do you think this president is redefining communication, or does it just seem that way when compared to 8 years of a president who had a more difficult relationship with the news media?
Well, I think a couple of things are going on here. First of all, it's clear that Barack Obama relishes this job. He loves it. It's enjoyable to watch somebody who enjoys the exercise of power. Franklin Roosevelt loved it when he was during the Depression. I think that Bill Clinton enjoyed many aspects of it. But Barack Obama just, I think even more than the campaign, seems to relish this. And secondly, as we all know, he has an extraordinary agenda. And the White House believes, I think he believes, that the way to persuade people to back this extraordinary agenda is to blitz them with this kind of Barack Obama all the time. And you know, what one of the strengths, I was just up on Capitol Hill this week talking to a major figure on the energy environmental side and said, you know, what we look to Barack Obama to do for us is to help frame the argument. There's nobody better at doing that right now than framing an argument. And he does that very, very well. So he makes it seem what he's trying to do very reasonable, and he makes people who oppose him seem somewhat unreasonable.
Well, do you think the way he's branched out into the different media platforms to frame his argument, YouTube, for example, you know, for weekly addresses, is this something generational?
There's no question that it's generational. Every president likes to use the medium of his time. In fact, what we know from history is that our best presidents are the ones who are the masters of new media. Teddy Roosevelt made his name at a time when newspaper subscriptions were exploding, the readership was exploding, and he sort of captured the nation's attention. Then along came Franklin Roosevelt and made radio his medium. Mm-hmm. And then some years later, you know, Jack Kennedy told Pierre Salinger, his press secretary, you know, Pierre, we wouldn't be here were it not for television. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of television was sort of the magic wand for him, as it was for Reagan. And it's an interesting question. Would he have been elected had it not been for the internet? Interesting question.
Yeah, President Obama is indeed an admirer of President Reagan for that ability to connect with...
That ability alone, I think. I'm not sure it extends to the rest of the...
Well, you worked for President Reagan.
Did.
And strictly from a communication standpoint, can you compare them?
Both of them are very comfortable with everyday language. Barack Obama is totally capable, of course, of inspiring language, of lofty language, as we saw in the race speech. So was President Reagan, as we saw when he went to the 40th anniversary of D-Day in Pointe du Hoc. But they're both very conversational in general in the way they communicate, and I think that that was in part the secret to Franklin Roosevelt. Roosevelt felt that he wanted to be speaking to people as if he were sitting in front of his hearth and his neighbors came over and they were just having a conversation about what was going on. And I think that that is part of the charm. There is this question, of course, you hear in Washington a great deal about, is he overexposed? Mm-hmm. And I think he could not continue at this pace. This would be unsustainable.
Just as there is some concern about overexposure, do you think there's concern that all of this, all of these appearances, that he might end up seeming less presidential?
I think There is that possibility. And here's where I think the other danger lies, though, and that is Tuesday night's press conference verged on being boring. Because we'd heard, if you follow this closely, you'd heard most of the argument several times. And if you go on too often, then the material can get a little stale. And the greatest sin for any speaker is to have people bored. One of the things that was interesting about Bill Clinton, and one of the reasons I think he maintained an audience connection for a long time, was he had such an interesting mind that he would see things or have insights that were quite, quite interesting. Barack Obama is more of a synthesizing person. I think Howard Gardner has written a book about the kinds of minds people have, and he's clearly a very, very synthesizing mind. He absorbs enormous amounts of information. I thought in the press conference this past week what he did show is that these daily briefings by Larry Summers, Tim Geithner, and others at the White House on economics are really making a difference. He's so comfortable now in talking about the financial industry. But I don't think he has really interesting insight sometimes that you would hear from a Clinton that kept you sort of on the edge of your intellectual seat. And therefore he's often in a situation where he, like a law professor, is walking through the arguments again. And once you've heard those arguments two or three times, they can lose some of the freshness. So that's one of the things I would be a little concerned about where I am in the White House at the moment.
David Gergen is director of the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government, and he has held positions in the Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton administrations. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to NPR News.